bless your word to us. You know, we started a series on called the God of the Elements. And Eddie done a fantastic job in the last week, all the feedback that I got. And he's coming to be a good preacher, isn't he? My goodness, he's just like fire and brimstone and full of the Holy Spirit. And I know Eddie spoke on out of the storm and the boat in the storm. And I know that because I preached not the same message, but from the same passage out in Bray last week. And it's absolutely vital for us to know that that we all come in and out of seasons. And some of these seasons represent stormy weathers. Some of them represent earthquakes. Some of them represent fire. And some of them represent water. And we have found in the scriptures that God is in it all. Whether you're being overwhelmed in a storm, he's in the boat. Whether it's an earthquake, he's in it. Whether it's fire, he's in the fire. And he's in it all for us. And it's so important for us to understand and to have wisdom and ask for wisdom. James says, I was just reading it this morning. It was in my Bible reading plan. It pops up and I go, yes, that's it. That if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. He gives double portions out without holding it back from anybody. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't find fault, another translation says. He gives it to those who has double portion of wisdom. And the wisdom we need is to know what season we're in and what element of it we're in and what we need to get out of it. See, there's so much that I didn't know when I was a teenager. But teenagers, there's so much you need to get out of your time as a teenager. It's a whole season for you to get something. Your 20s is something. Your 30s is something. There's seasons, there are blocks of life that God wants us to grow in and areas to grow in our lives within those seasons. But it's also, we have to know that when the elements comes against us, where they're coming from. Because these storms, and especially that passage that Eddie preached from last week, the storms on that Lake of Galilee, storms happen in an instant on the Lake of Galilee. That it's surrounded by mountains, and the cold wind comes, and wherever that all does, that a storm can whip up in seconds. And some storms are natural. They're life. Things happen. God has nothing to do with it. People hurt us. It's not God bringing us into a season of being hurt. He doesn't do that. And some things are just people, and some storms are choices. I don't know about you, but I probably whipped up more storms from myself than I need. Because of wrong choices. And some storms come into our lives because of other people's choices that we have nothing to do with at all, but we get a whack of the wind. If a father or a mother makes certain decisions, a storm can come into a family that the children never asked for. They never chose. It wasn't their choice. There's also elements that God does lead us into. And it's not like, I told you this before, a lady in this church says to me, she got breast cancer, she says, God gave me this. No, he didn't. Why did he give you that? To teach me to have faith. Huh? That's like me grabbing my daughter and giving her a good few punches. Now you're going to learn something from that. He's good. But there is storms God leads us in. And that picture last week was a great instance of it. Jesus led him into a storm. For what purpose? To go to another side to free a man that was bound with demons. Not to get them all afraid. But there was a purpose to when Jesus leads us into a storm like that. And usually we do learn something, but there's someone on the other side. And I love that bit where Jesus turns around and he says, oh, you have little faith. You know, I don't know about you, when I read that, I see me. I go, I cringe a little. Oh, I bet you that would have been me. And what he was saying to them, guys, you've seen so much. Your faith level should have been way up. And the word that's used for terrified in it is this Greek word called dilios. Which means it wasn't just I was afraid because it was stormy, because the natural fear that we should have of storms. But the word dilius means that they were overwhelmed, gripped to a point that they even started questioning whether Jesus cared or not. And when storms come and there's an element of unnatural fear that causes us to question the things of God, that's when Jesus gets up and he goes, guys, you know that I'm good. And that is a real, real lack of faith there. That's so small when it should be up there. You've seen me heal. You've seen me take lepers that no one would touch, and I touched them. You've seen me have compassion on people, and you're allowing this fear to grip you so much that it's causing you to doubt my goodness. I don't know about you, but in my walk right now, and I'll save you a lot of trouble if you believe me in this, I have no room ever to question God's goodness ever again, because I know too much. If I do it, it's a choice, and if I make that choice, I will bring a storm into my life that I don't want to be in. God is good, full stop. Full stop. But here's what I love about Jesus. Even though he had little faith, he responded to that little faith. He said, faith should be here. But the Bible says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do mighty things in God. And he goes, guys, you should be somewhere else, but you have something I can work with. Storm, be quiet. And storms do come from the devil. There is a devil. And he's nothing to be feared of. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. Do you know God lives inside of you if you're a Christian? Do you know that? That the protection of God is on your life. When fear comes and says, oh, the big boogeyman. Say, no, my God is bigger. My God is greater. My God is for me. But when the storms do come from him, we need wisdom. We need the word of God to be able to say no. We need to know what he is saying to us. Know the seasons we're in. Know the elements. No matter whether it's choices of people, air choice, the devil, whether it's natural storms, no matter what it is, God is in it with us. Because his commitment to us, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He'll never abandon us. He'll never leave us as orphans. We'll never have to go through something without him being with us. So whatever season you or I is in, our confidence needs to be placed that God is in it with us. And he will see us out the other side. He will see us through this. If you ever get time in the season where you think, I'm going under. No, you're not. That's just a feeling. So this morning I'm going to speak on another element. And again, it's wind. And I love this one. Well, whenever God gives it, I love it. And someone might bring some on earthquake because the guys have the elements, but they're going to bring what God wants them to bring. You bring in wind, Thomas? Okay. It's like whoever gets to preach first can preach. Like last week was like, I says, I know this was such an obvious one to preach about the storm. But like, if you're preaching first, you got there first. So the other guys have to search for other stuff. But here's a scripture for you. It's in Ezekiel 37. It's a well-known passage of scripture. It says this, Ezekiel, great prophet of God. It says, the hand of the Lord is on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. The Lord asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know that. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones, speak to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was saying these things and prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord says to me, prophesy, speak to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into this slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up to their feet. They became a vast army. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine the situation? That like he's brought out and all he sees is bones. Shrewing everywhere. Like heads over here and legs over there. And he's in this situation. And in fact the whole prophecy is about the people of Israel. It's about that they've been far away from God. They've been far off in other places. And the promise of God in this to Israel was that the people that are far off, that feel like they're in their graves, is going to come back to life again and serve God. And that was the outcome of it. But you can imagine Ezekiel, and he's like looking at all this, and he's saying to himself, is there anything what's going to happen to these bones? Like, how are they going to come alive? How are they going to be fixed? How are they going to come together? How is something going to happen with these bones? How was a great army going to be raised up out of these bags of bones? It seems impossible to bring something out of this valley. Now, I don't know about you, but these are questions, maybe not about bones that I have asked over my life, but like, Lord, how are you going to make something out of this? Lord, how are you going to bring life out of this? Lord, I'm on me belly. I'm lower than a rattlesnake. And you said you're going to cause me to stand up. How are you going to do this? How are you going to get me through this storm? How are you going to get me through this valley? How is the Lord going to restore what's before you? How is the Lord going to reinstate you in the things of God? How is the Lord going to get me going again? I'm dead. I feel dry. I feel like I'm in the valley. I feel like my heart is not beating. How is the Lord going to move me on? Have you ever asked those questions? Are you asking those questions this morning of something in your life? How will the Lord put a new song in my heart? Ezekiel was asked a great question by the Lord. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of God. Wouldn't that be great? Just say to the Lord, bring me out in the Spirit. This guy is brilliant if you read Ezekiel. One time the Lord took him by the back of the hair and brought me out in the Spirit. I love it. Like, you know, and, like, I don't care how I get brought out by the Lord. I just want to be brought out. I'm going to bring you on a date by the back of the hair. And he's in there. And listen, the Lord asked him a question. Son of man, can these bones live? It was God asked him the question. What a great question to be asked. I don't know about you, but in my walk with God over many different situations and times, I find that the Lord starts speaking to me in questions. And it's only when I was reading this, I'm like, wow, that is a common thing. You're like, Noel, what are you doing with that? Like, he's leaving it down to me. Like, and most times I try to give him an answer. Or like sometimes the Lord will say stuff. Like one time I was at home and I was lying on the sofa and I was out to be reading a book and I'm just lying there and the Lord speaks to me. And he says, Noel, do you know that I'm attracted to sin? Question mark. I was like, what? Do you know? And that goes through my brain, the Bible that I have in my brain, through scripture. What's it saying? What's the Bible say? And I went, are you? Because I thought it was a trick question. And the little questions, the little answers that came into my mind just from knowledge of scripture was like, God loved the world. He gave his son. He didn't run away from an evil world, a broken world. He ran to it. See, because sin is not good for any of us. But God's not afraid of it. God's not afraid of our mess. We think when we sinned, we want to run away from God. And he's like, no, wait on me. I was raised in Christianity where if somebody had sin in the camp, don't have sin in the camp because God won't come into the camp. Achan in chapter 6 of Joshua. So my mind was like, no, you can't have anything in the camp. And people would do all types of crazy things if they thought sin was in the camp, confess your sins in front of people. Like, can you imagine what that was bringing on people? And in the New Testament, God is still holy. For he enters into a messy, sinful world. And not only that, when he becomes a Christian, he enters and lives in us, messy, sinful people. Which to the Old Testament mindset was like, far away as the moon is from the earth. Because you have to do thing after thing just to get into God's presence. And Ezekiel was asked a question. And when God answers us a question, we need to go back to and see what Ezekiel answered him with. And this is what he answered him with. Genius. He was asked a question. Can these bones live? He said, Lord, you alone know that. He just opened himself up for more stuff from God. Where for me, I would want to go, yeah, Lord, I know that you're not afraid of sin because you get it. And I'm giving him the answer. He's like, that's not even the answer I wanted to give you. But as soon as I say, Lord, you know that. Can you tell me the answer? And then he goes on and he says, now, this is what I want you to say. Speak my word into the bones. Speak my word in what you think is impossible. Speak my word into that impossibility. And he says this, and here's the element that God is in. He says, prophesy to the wind. See, I don't know about you, but when you come to know the Lord and your life, wherever was in their life, he puts back together or gives us new stuff. It's nature. He's always creating. And some people can come to church and stop doing certain things or start doing certain things. They can have bones come back together. You know, I have family back. Or they can have sinews come on and they start having new confidence in doing things that they hadn't got before. And they start even serving in church. And there's great noise in the valley and all this noise is happening in the valley. Bones come up to bones and whatever. And that's great. But there's one thing that he was never going to be satisfied unless happened. This happened. The wind came. The Holy Spirit came. It's great being good people. But to be powerful people, we have to be people of the Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and filling us and moving out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if not, we might as well do a self-help program. We can do a lot of stuff like we get in church doing by self-help programs, but we only get the things of God through the Holy Spirit. No matter how good the program is, no matter how good people think, oh, I just think positive thinking, and that works to an element, but it's only working to human thinking with human results. But it won't heal the sick. It won't cast out demons. And it won't bring the kingdom of God to earth. And all of this was happening, and God says to him, here's the end result. All of that stuff is good, but don't stop till the breath of God comes. And Ezekiel goes, the Lord says to him, say to the north, the south, and the east and west, wind, come. I don't know about you, but I'd love to be a film director and just direct some of this stuff that you see in the scriptures. Can you imagine what we could do with the programs that they have on computers today around Ezekiel? And he's there, and he's standing on this, and he speaks what God told him to speak. And all of a sudden, the wind started to come, whipping around into this valley, whipping amongst the bones, whipping amongst those who were slain that were all together now, but had no life in them. And the breath of God came, and an army stood up. Because God was in the element of the wind. The wind of God, the Spirit of God came to those who were slain, those who had nothing going for them, no hope. Bones don't have hopes or futures. There's no plans or purposes for bones. For here in God's genius, he causes a great army to stand up right in front of Ezekiel. Can an army be raised up from the dead? Yes. Can your situation change? Yes. But it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not by might. See, we can. The guys in the boat that Eddie spoke of last week, they were seasoned fishermen. I'm sure they were wrong for a good life till they realized we can't do this what Jesus wants in our strength. We can't get there without him imparting something into us. I'm sure they started to get the sails up and started to get through this situation. But to do the things of God and to be the army of God, it's not by might. And it's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, but when I do it by the power of the Spirit of God, it's a lot easier. It's easier to love someone with the Spirit of God. It's easier to forgive. It's easier to let go. But in my own strength, I do forgive them. Until I see them, that dirty. It's easier. He gives you the grace. He carries grace. Where there's deadness, he brings life. Where there's no hope, he brings hope. Where there's no future, he starts to speak it in to the bones, and the bones start to come alive. And we see this happening in the New Testament. Jesus is crucified. Jesus had gone to the cross. He took the sins of the world upon him. The disciples were like, Jesus has left the scene. He's dead. He's in a tomb. It's like, it's one thing following Jesus when he was with us, but it's a bit of a harder saying, Jesus, we keep on following you even though we don't see it. They were given a mandate to change the world with the gospel. They were told that signs and wonders would accompany them, but Jesus is getting out of here. How will we do this? How will fishermen change the world? How will ordinary people do the things that God says in the Bible that we're supposed to be doing? They were given a mandate to win the world, 120 of them possibly. How could they even reach Jerusalem, let alone Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth? Can you imagine them sitting around? What will we do? This is not a valley of dry bones. This is a world full of dry bones. How are we going to do what Jesus says we would do? He said we'd stand on scorpions and snakes and no harm would come to us. He says that we would see heaven come to earth if we pray and believe that the things he done, he says we will do. How? Can you imagine them all sitting around? Well, let's, what will we do? And then in Acts 1:8, Jesus appears to them. And this is what he says. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he was appearing to them all over the place at this stage. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and even in Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Jesus was saying, "You wait on me. The goods are gonna come. You do what I say. Ezekiel, speak. Ezekiel, you stand." Now he was saying, years and years and years later, to the disciples, "You go and wait, and what I will give you, you will be able to do what I told you could do." See, Ezekiel says, I done as the Lord commanded. Do you remember I read it? Now the disciples went to Jerusalem to wait. They were doing what the Lord commanded. There wasn't a debate. There wasn't a committee meeting. It was like Jesus said, we're going to do it. Because you know our scripture from last year, do it God's way, you get God's results. But Jesus, I don't want to wait in Jerusalem. And that upper room, it's a bit smelly. Can I wait in the Hilton? You can wait in the Hilton all you want, but I'm turning up here. He's not on our leash. He's not on our timetable. He's not like, God, I put money in the offering, therefore you have to give me. Like, yeah, right. He gave them a command. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. I was thinking about this earlier. If Jesus said, I'm going to move in liberty, and I go and wait on him in the Hilton, I'm going to miss him. Now, some may say, but he'll move there anyway. No, he won't. He'll move where he says he'll move. And I got scared this morning when I read this. Because I'm thinking of all the Christians I know that are migrating all around the city and the nation to other churches because they get pained, they don't agree. It doesn't matter. If Jesus says you're going to grow here, this is where you're going to grow. There might be rattles of bones. There might be sinews. There might be all that stuff. Sure, you can get that in any self-help program. But if he says you're going to grow here, you won't get it anywhere else. Because this is what he says. Or if he says that about another church, and if you're from another church and that's your place, go back.
because you want to be where Jesus told you to be. And it's not always going to be, it's not always easy street when he does that. You sit beside somebody like, I thought I was going to have a great blessed time, and you sit beside cranky Mary. Or, of course, I'm going back to that. You can go. You can go, but you won't grow. Because he's not on their leash. He's not on my timetable. You do it my way. He says to them, you wait in Jerusalem. Not Samaria, not Judea. You wait there. Because that's where my promise is going to be manifested. But Lord, you don't know. There's no carpet on the floor in that place. Wait. But Lord, I don't get on with Peter. He's always talking about when he walked on the water. Wait. But James doesn't do the things the way I want him to do it. Wait. I'm not getting a quick enough way. Wait. You get it when you do it his way. Can I tell you how many times I wanted to leave this church? Hundreds. Hundreds. Because he's a dirty low. No, do you think you're the only one that feels like that? Do you ever feel like that, Peter? Annie? Do you think you're the only one that we all surround you? We love to get hurt like everyone else. Come on, just walk out my life again. Do you not think that's painful? Do you not think when you're stubborn saying, he doesn't or she doesn't love me anymore, I'm not going. Do you not think walking out of their life hurts, doesn't hurt them? Wait. Wait. Wait on God. Wait and see what he does. Do it his way. Well, Lord, I don't care. I'm just not going to turn up anymore. Okay. There you go. See, that misery you have now, that's not going to change. It doesn't matter. We can't twist God's arm. He won't be mocked. If he says, wait in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem. And he did wait. And while you were waiting, they received the promise that the Father told them they would get the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazingly. And I was reading, let me read this to you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place where Jesus told them. Suddenly a sound like the bone of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. That came and separated and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. A wind came with fire in it, rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the heavenly language or other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it says, now in Jerusalem, there were staying God-fearing Jews from every nation under the sun. They were all there. And the men of God and the women of God that was in the upper room when the fire came, where God told them to wait on, they fell out of the room. And they were declaring the works of God in languages that wasn't their own. But the people from all those nations were there, hearing these people from Galilee, from the surrounding areas, speaking. If there was an Irish man there, they would have heard a man speak or a woman speak in Irish. They fell out like they were drunk. I got to wait. Do you know what I feel right now in God? I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I listened to his command. I wouldn't have gotten this. That's why they were so joyful. Do you know what God has just done? He filled sinful man somehow with the Holy Spirit. No wonder they were jumping around. And it says, then Peter stands up. He was afraid. Remember the young girl said, you were with Jesus. No, he wasn't. Next minute, full of the Holy Spirit, he stands up to the whole of a city. Men of Jerusalem, listen. I bet you Peter was like, glad I waited. I probably would have been a chicken all my life if I didn't get what I just had there. My story would have been always about yesteryear. When I walked in the water, when I said these great statements to Jesus, I would have lived off, have to live off that. It was just men of Jerusalem. I want to tell you about Jesus. And then they say, at the end of it, because his word was cutting right, the word of God was cutting right to the heart. And they said, well, then how do we get saved? And how do we get filled with what you're filled with? He says, repent.
Turn, God, and times of refreshing will come to you. And 3,000 people that were just living their life, maybe fishermen, grocery people, priests, 3,000 of them stand up. We want Jesus. A vast army. Imagine 120 of them in the room. How are we going to do this? Next minute, the wind. This wind of God came from everywhere. Like, you know, I used to think maybe they were all just sitting in a circle. 40 days they were there or something. Weren't they? Just all sitting there 40 days. Come, Lord Jesus. And this morning I just thought, you know what? Maybe a couple of them were out in the outhouse. Maybe some of them was in doing the dinner. Maybe two of them were all like, oh yeah, well, how's it going? Like, they weren't all sitting around for 40 days. They were people. You can imagine two of them talking. Next time the wind comes, tongues of fire. Whoa! Did you get that? Yeah, they're speaking in a language they never had before. Filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with hope and joy, filled with now the understanding that we can do this stuff. Imagine someone running in the door. I'm on fire! Someone downstairs, let me in! Call an ambulance, call a fire brigade, get the water out. I have a holy fire. The promise is true. They got fire from heaven and the church was birthed in that moment. It was birthed in fire and it's going to keep. The only way the church can survive if it stays in the fire of God. We were birthed there. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with power. Empowered to accomplish the mission of God. Speaking in the heavenly language as the Spirit enabled them. I don't know about you, but I became a Christian 25 years ago, nearly March. And I was just so glad that I was going to heaven. Because I really, really knew I was going to hell. And Jesus comes in and he saves you from that lost eternity. And I didn't want to do anything. Well, I just wanted to love him. I wanted to love the one that died on the cross for me, that shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. I didn't care about ministry. I didn't even know what that word was. Missions. What? I knew Mission Impossible. That was on the telly. But nothing. I didn't care. I was nothing. It wasn't even in my world. I know them words now, but I didn't even know those words. And I gave my life to Jesus. The man was preaching. He says, his name was Reinhard Bonnke, German man. And he says, you know what has you separated from God? He says, sin. Your desire to want to do everything your way, that's the opposite of God's way. And it's all right, because we're all the same. We're like this from birth. It's in us. It's amazing you don't ever have to teach a kid how to do bold things. Or to be selfish. It's just natural. But we do have to teach them how to do good things. And he says there's a remedy for this sin that separates us from God's best. And he says it's the cross. And it's the blood of Jesus that was shed. And he says, and if you accept what he done and put your faith in him, he cleanses you from all sin. That's how the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. And he says, if you want this, he says, come down to the front. There was 2,000 people in the National Stadium. And myself and Sharon sitting side by side. And I said, Sharon, I'm going to Jesus. And she says, wait, I'm going with you. And the two of us went down to the front. There was hundreds of people when we got there. We didn't care. And I didn't see flashes of light or anything. But I tell you this, I knew I was forgiven. I don't know how I knew that. I wasn't a churchgoer, I wasn't a Bible reader, but I knew. Everything I'd done wrong, everything, nothing would be held against me before God. If I died that moment, I'd be able to look God in the eye without any shame or any guilt, without any fear of anything. It was the most wonderful feel. I said, Sharon, we need to tell everybody. What would we tell them? I don't know. I didn't know. But I knew this, I was blind, but now I could see. I was only talking to someone this week, and I was like, when we went back to the flats, could see the boards up in the sky. It's like we are born again. It's like the pigeons used to be on the roof with asthma. Now they were like, it was like they were whistling. Handel's Messiah. I said, my goodness, look at the sky, it's blue. The grass is green. It was like I was alive. It's like something had been birthed anew in me. It was like I was renewed and restored. I was slain, but now I was brought to life. I was dead, but now I was living. And it's available to you and I today. And if I thought that was good, I went over to my friend's house and find my neighbor all singing songs about Jesus. Brilliant Bible study. Now the Bible became something that I wanted to read. I loved to read. What does God say about this and this? I wanted to be with God's people. I wanted all of that. And then they said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happened to me in Acts. It's for us today. And I'm like, I want it. I wanted everything. I kid you not, if it was in the Bible, it's mine. And I said, how do I get this? We pray with you now. Honestly, we used to hang out in the morgues up in James's because our friends were dying. And we don't lay hands on our friends to see, just to see, is that what God wants? Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit. I was in the room, and he says, come on, we pray for you. He brought me in, and there was about six of us in a 27K Fightman Mansions. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they knew how to speak in this heavenly language. They just said, no, receive it in faith. Oh, my head was saying, this is crazy. See, it's not a head thing, it's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. And anyway, they start singing in tongues, in another language. And I was like, wow. These are crazy. But I knew it was for me. I knew. The next minute, something inside me erupted. And I started to sing in a language that I'd never learned before. It was the most, I had a fire deep inside of me. I went home, we used to have smoke mirrors over the fireplace when it was in. And I went home and I lifted up my top, moved my six pack to the side. I could move it right around the back. I lifted up to see, could I actually see a physical flame? That's how real and dynamic it was. And I gets into bed, which was a separate bed from Sharon, because we'd committed ourselves to not have sex outside of marriage, but we were living together. And we held hands across. I was in the single bed, and her, my daughter, Patrice, was in the double bed. And I tell you, it's cold in them flats. So cold, I went in one time, my suit was wearing me overcoat. I remember holding hands, praying in tongues, this heavenly language. Lord, keep us. We don't want to fall in that area again. We want to honor you with our lives, with our bodies, with our marriage, our future marriage, which was on the way. How does this happen? How does all that stuff, how are we able to do that? Power of the Holy Spirit. In our own strength, we'd probably get away with it for a week. Self-willed, good, strong people, we'd get away with it for a month. Back down again. I know it all too well. But here's the beauty of it. God's wind wants to come afresh. So please stand. And I don't know how if you're visiting with us, what a great morning to visit. My goodness, you're getting the whole shebang. And I just say, in the name of Jesus, yeah, breath of God, come. Wind of God, we just open our hearts and our lives, not to Noel Kenny, but to you, Lord. You said, Lord, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, your young men, your old men. This is not class orientated. It's not status orientated. It's not background orientated. He's like, it's all flesh. And the man says to Peter, when Peter was preaching, and how do we get this? Believe in the Lord Jesus. Turn away from your own life and give your life to him, and you will have what I have. And just while everyone's eyes is closed, because it's a choice thing. And I ask everyone to close their eyes just for privacy, because what I'm going to ask people, if you've never, ever commit your life to God or ask God to commit his life to you. See, it's not like we give our life to God. He gives his life to us. He takes our old life and gives us a new life. He takes our blindness and gives us open eyes. He takes our lame living and gives us abundant life. It's not like I'm giving you something, Lord. I'm giving you a sinful man. And your offer is to make me a new man. So I worked in the bookies and I worked it out really quick that this was the best deal you're ever going to get in this world. I was heading for hell and he gave me eternal life in heaven. I'm like, yeah, right, I'm no stupid idiot. I'm taking it. And all I did was, that night, 22nd of March 1989, I just said yes to God. And he came and he done the rest. I just gave him permission because he wants that. So, if you're here today, I've been coming for months, weeks, whatever, and you've never asked him, and you want to do it today, we'll all do it together. I want to embarrass you, believe me. But you just put up your hand and say, no, I want to be included in this prayer. Very quickly, you've never done this before. No, I want to thank you. I want to be filled. I want God in my life. I want my sins, my past forgiven. I want to be able to look God in the eye. Just quickly put up your hand. Yes, thank you. Come on, there's more. Just get over that fear factor. Just go over that fear factor. It's eternal life here. Say yes, Noel. Just pull your hand and pull it back down. Noel, include me in this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any more? Thank you. Thank you. And look at guys, it's simple. He hasn't made it complicated for us. He says, I knock at the door, you open up, I come in. And we're going to just say a prayer all of us together. There's six or seven people that just put up their hands to give their life to Jesus. And we say it together, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me so that my sins may be forgiven. I accept the forgiveness of my sin that you paid for. Cleanse me. Wash over me by the power of your blood. Now, Lord Jesus, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I want to experience what they experienced in the Bible. I want to be empowered. I want to be equipped. I want to know you by the power of your Holy Spirit. So come in. I give you my life. I am yours. Now, guys, we said we'd do this. That when someone comes to know the Lord, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are singing right now. And I want the angels to, and they're clapping and they're shouting and hollering. But can we just echo that on earth and just welcome these guys into the kingdom? Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen, Lord. We want that to happen so many times that the angels will be like, do you hear them again? Another one home, another son, another daughter home.